Without your word, we don't know what to do. Without your word, we don't know what to say. We don't know where to go. We would just be guessing and trying to figure it out. But thank you, we don't have to. Speak to our hearts. We love you, we bless you, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, chapter 6 and verse 12. Well, I guess if this message had a title, which it doesn't, which I don't normally do, but it's just a father's prayer. And we thank God for all our fathers. Pray for those who might be distant from their father, that as they reach to the heavenly father, that they would be reunited with their earthly father. Then those of us whose dads have passed away, we thank God for the memories and special times. And I just know for me personally, just a blessing it was growing up. Although I grew up in the inner city, surrounded by all types of gangs and drugs and violence, I thank God that my dad was there. I was one of the ones who grew up with a good dad. That's what stopped me from going off the deep end. I knew where to go and where not to go and how far to go and how far not to go, because I'd have to come home and explain it to my dad, my father. And I didn't want to embarrass Dad. He worked too hard with the eight of us hard heads for me to get caught up in some foolishness and try and explain it to him. There was really nothing I could say. But loving, caring, you've all met my mom. They were married 48 years before my dad passed 11 years ago. And just a really, Dad was just a really good example. Again, we didn't go to church, but it was just a lot of love there. And I thank God I led my dad to the Lord when I rededicated my life in college. So that was one of the best days of my life to lead my dad to the Lord. Just a great man he was. There's a lot of great men that's not going to make it to heaven. Amen. We can't get in on what we do. It's what's already been done through Jesus Christ. So, and I thank God for all the fathers here and all the men that are here, what God is doing. Amen. Amen. Did I say 2 Chronicles 6 and 12? All right, so here we go. This is Solomon. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, documented the wisest man that ever lived, and he's praying to God. So make a note that this is the prayer coming from the wisest man that ever lived. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. So make a note, those of you that take notes, so prayer has a posture. So he's posturing himself. Amen. Spreading his hands before God in the presence of all the congregation. He wasn't ashamed of who was around. He wasn't ashamed of who was looking, what people were going to say. He lifted his hands and postured and prayed to God in the presence of the people. Verse 13, for Solomon had made a brazen scaffold or bronze platform. 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad, 3 cubits high, and had set it in the middle of the court, and upon it he stood. So now we talk about position. We go from the posture to the position. I'm trying to sound intelligent and use words that start the same. Alliteration, posture, position, and we'll get to the prayer. All right, give me some credit, all right? I'm trying, y'all. Y'all know I don't normally do that kind of stuff. Give me a little credit, all right? So we went from the posture, now it's the position. He built this bronze platform that was made of bronze, and he stood in the middle of the congregation. He kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven. Why? Because that's where God is. Jesus is up there on the right hand. He didn't lift it towards the people because he's not looking to people or society. He didn't lift it to the ground because there's nothing down there that can help him. He lifts it up to God, where his help comes from. Men, take a note in chapter 13 that he made the bronze platform. He measured it. It was 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high. And He said in the midst. So let me make a note. When we're praying to God, it has to be intentional. All right. He put in time. He put in effort. He prayed on purpose. It just didn't happen. He just didn't wake up, get in the car and go, oh, man, I forgot to pray. No, he took time. He put effort. Men, put effort and time into your prayer. He prayed on purpose. Let me use another P word. He prayed on purpose. We got the posture, the position, and he's praying on purpose. He's not just letting it happen. It's okay to pray in the car. We all should be praying without ceasing. But he put time and effort into this. He put detail into his prayer. Make a note, ladies and gentlemen, put details in your prayer. Look at the order. It's an order to it. He prepared to pray. He just didn't let it happen. He purposely made it happen. Verse 14, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven or in the earth. Make a note, his confidence in the prayer. Make sure you know who you're praying to. Make sure you know that you're praying to the true and living God. There is no God like Jesus. There's no God like God the Father. Jeremiah says the same thing. You are the Lord. There's nothing too hard for you. Here is Solomon saying, there is no other God like you. Say, well, how would Solomon know? Because if you go back to 2 Chronicles 1 and 7, that's when God spoke to Solomon. Let's go there quickly. Then we're coming back. We're going to be all over the place. Natalie, I forgot to tell you. 2 Chronicles 1, 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give you. Now, Solomon's praying in chapter 6, but he says no God like God because God, he had already had an encounter with God. God spoke with him and said, what do you want? He confidently prayed in God because he already spoke to God. Solomon, verse 8, and Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David, my father, underline that, his father, and has made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let your promise unto David, my father, look, the father, the son connection. Man, there's a huge connection between father and son and father and daughter. It's a godly connection. Allow that godly connection to be developed. Man, that's why it's so tough out here. For us as men to take the stand that God's called us, because the enemy does not want us to have that father-son godly connection. If you look at society, it looks like the enemy is winning because fathers are just leaving, abandoning their sons. Sons, forgive us. The sons that are in here and your dad's not there, we're on behalf of them, forgive them. Don't let that bitterness take over your heart. It's a spiritual warfare that we're all caught up in. And the key is if we can get rid of the dad, then the whole family will fall. We get rid of that, whole society will fall. We don't know what to do. So it's always an attack upon the father and the son connection. And it's not your dad. God, forgive the dads. They don't know what they're doing. They think they're doing, but they're just being puppeteered by the great deceiver, Satan. They think they're winning when they're losing. And it's a spiritual warfare. So young men, those of us that are not so young, forgive your dad. Don't hold that bitterness. Don't hold that hate. As a dad, I know it's nothing more than we would want but to be a great father. But it's just so much temptations, frustrations, distractions. And if you're not rooted and grounded in God, then we're not going to make it. Then the enemy will pick us off one by one. But we see the father-dad connection, father-son connection. You're going to see it again. Verse 9, now, O Lord God, let your promise unto David, my father, be established, for thou hast made me king over people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge. Men, underline that. Incorporate this to your prayer every day. God, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, whether it's your family, your kids, your wife, that I can go out and before my wife, Lord, before my kids. For who can judge this people that is so great? Verse 11 is key. And God said unto Solomon, because this was in your heart. Dads, fathers, make sure we're praying with our heart. Make sure we're being transparent with God. God knows what's in our heart. God, help us to pray with our heart. We're going to get to another scripture in a few minutes that talks about the heart and giving us a clean heart that only God can do through Jesus Christ. And God said to Solomon, because this was in his heart, he asked for wisdom and knowledge, which just seemed like a nice stock church answer. If I would ask you, what do you want? Oh, I just want to get closer to God this year. I really do. Praise the Lord. I just want to be great in God's eyes. Knock it off. God said this is what he really wanted. This was really in his heart. This is who Solomon was at the time. He says, you haven't asked for riches and wealth and honor, nor the life of your enemies. Yeah, I'm going to say that. God, give me some money, give me wealth, and those fools that's bothering me, take them out. Oh, by the way, I do want a long life. He said, you ain't asked for that yet. But that was coming. But you've asked for wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you a king. Men and young men, where God has made us kings and princes. We're not the king of kings, but we are joint heirs with the Father and joint heirs with the Son. We are royalty. And he's made us to lead our families and our wives and our children. And God, that's why we need your wisdom. How can I lead my wife without you? How can I lead my kids without you? How can I lead your church, Lord, without your wisdom and knowledge? God said in verse 12, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, his wisdom came from God. There will not be another Solomon, because God said so. God bless you. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 6, and let's pick it up at 14. And said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in the heaven or in the earth which keeps covenant. So write down the other P is the promise. God keeps his promise. But it is a conditional promise. He said unto your servants that walk before you with a piece of their heart. With all of our heart, I'm sorry. So make a note that God wants all of your heart. God doesn't want a piece of your heart. God needs 100%. And then think about it. You will never know what God can do in your life until you give him 100%. You will never know. You will never know. Solomon said right here, the promises to those that walk before God. He's talking about your lifestyle. Your lifestyle should reflect that you've given God 100% of your heart. That's part of the promise. You give me 100% of your heart, I'll take care of the rest, is what God is saying. I have a promise. I've made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Made a promise through the blood of Jesus Christ. You give me 100% of your heart, and I'll take care of the rest. Verse 15, thou which has kept with your servant David, my father. There we go. David and father. My father, David, father, son connection. Which you have promised him and spoke with your mouth and has fulfilled it with your hand as it is. What day? We've been talking about this day. All God needs is one day to turn everything around. Solomon said, today is this day for me. But look how he makes it personal. If you're looking for another P, Solomon makes it personal. He said, hey, God is a tangible God. He said, look what you've promised, God. You promised with your mouth and with your hand. It's personal. God's a personal God. Your hand, mouth, you can touch. You're approachable. God, you're not afar off. I don't know what you look like. I don't know what you sound. No, God, I've heard it from your mouth and you fulfilled it with your hand. You are just as personal as those of us right here. God is not far off from us. He's not unapproachable. He's not up there upset with us. He wants to keep his promise. Turn back to 1 Chronicles 29:9. Let's look at the father-son connection. take a few minutes here, look at the father-son connection, and then we'll wrap it up. But it's a couple of things. I think I'm on the wrong one. Let's say try 1 Chronicles 28 and 9. See what that looks like, Natalie. Yeah, that's it. 1 Chronicles 28 and 9. Father-son connection. So there's a couple of things that make this unique. The first thing is, this is David on his deathbed. Think about it, fathers. You're on your deathbed and your son is talking to you. What do you tell him? Son, make sure you take care of your 401k. Make sure your life insurance is paid up. What do you tell your son? Make sure you go to college. Make sure you treat your family right. I mean, what do you tell? This is David on his deathbed, his last breath talking to his son. What do we say to our sons? What's important then? It's a game changer, the first sentence. And thou, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father. That changes the game. He didn't say just know God. If he said just know God, that's different. But he said, know the God of your father. Wow, dads. Because we were asked our kids, who's the God of your father? My kids might say Jesus Christ. But then they might say sports. They might say working out. They might even say my wife. No, he worships God. He worships his wife. He worships the gym. He worships basketball. See, our kids really know. They might even say the church. He spends so much time in church, he doesn't even spend time with us. The church is his God. Not God is his God, but the church is his God. Oh, he's into women. Oh, my dad, he's into pornography. He's into women. He's in lying and cheating and stealing. My dad is into all kind of stuff. He said, he changed the game. He said, no, the God of your father. Oh, man, that's a cold one. He's on his deathbed and said, you need to know the God that I served and I'm getting ready to die going to heaven with. If he just said no God, then that's different. Okay, I got to find out who God is. Father-son connection. He said, know the God of your father and serve him with a perfect heart. That word perfect in the Hebrew means loyal. God's not asking us to be perfect, but he is asking us to be committed to him. Let me say that again. It's not about being perfect. We don't need to be perfect. We just need to be committed to God. Have our heart committed to God. And then serving with a willing mind. This is so deep. I don't have time to break them all down. I think I've done before. But it talks about your heart and it talks about your mind and your thoughts. Let your mind be willing to serve God. Why? Because the Lord, he searches. That word search means he investigates all hearts. God has already investigated your heart. He understands all the imaginations and your thoughts. It's pretty deep. That's the good news, amen? Amen. Hey, but that's the bad news, amen? Amen? Then David tells him, if you seek God, you can find him. But if you don't, he'll cast you off forever. If you don't go after God, then he's not going to look for you, but you got to deal with those consequences. But if you look for God, you'll find him. This is his deathbed confession to his son. He said, now listen, verse 10, listen to what I'm saying, son. For the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Young men, listen, God has called you to be a man of God. Then listen to his last words right here. He said, be strong and do it. Men, young men, God's called us to be his temple. And he says, be strong because it's not for wimps. You got to be strong. And then we already know that where Nike got their slogan from, we know now. Came right out of the word, just do it. David told Solomon that thousands of years ago. God's telling us that today. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 6 and let's wrap this one up. To come back and finish it another time. Verse 15. Does that say 2 Chronicles 6 and 15? So we got the father-son connection. This is important to this is important to know, fathers and sons. David just gave these instructions to his son, but David was a flawed man, just like we're a flawed man. That's why we get excited. Thank you, ladies, for the book, 12 Ordinary Men, because David was ordinary and God did extraordinary things with him. So there's hope for us. Amen.
Amen.
We're excited. We don't have to try and be all that. Just let God be all that through us. But when you look at the big word is the dichotomy of David, which means he was one way and then he was another way. David was really talented like most of us. Number one, he was a man after God's own heart. So he was a man. He was also a father. He was also a king. He was a warrior. He was a shepherd. He was a writer. He was a musician. He was a singer. And he was a dancer. David, an awesomely talented man. God said he's a man after my own heart. He's the king. I've chosen him. But then on the other hand, David was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He was a liar. He was flawed. His family was dysfunctional. Somebody say amen. Been there, done that. We got the video and the words to prove it and the pictures. Amen. Welcome to the club. God uses ordinary people. You don't have to be special. You just have to be committed to God. David is a perfect example. You say, this is a man after my own heart. This is King David. And because of my promise to David, because of his life, I'm going to honor that promise to his son Solomon. What about David? He lied. He cheated. He killed somebody. He slept with somebody's wife. And he tried to pretend it didn't even happen. And that's the guy you want to use? God said, that's my guy. Why? Because his heart was connected to God's heart. Our heart is connected to God's heart through Jesus Christ. Now let's go. Let's go to Psalms 51. Let's stop playing around. Let's go to Psalms 51. Men, if you haven't highlighted this, ladies, if you haven't highlighted this, you need to. This is what separated David. His heart was connected to God in the midst of everything. His heart was connected to God. And when he was shown himself, when he was able to stop and pause and think about who he really was, he had to confess and ask God to forgive him. Are you at Psalms 51, verse 1? First thing, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your favor, not the world standard, but God, according to your unconditional love. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. God, I'm messed up, I'm jacked up. When you can lay on the floor with tears in your eyes and start praying a prayer like this, that's when your heart connects to God. No pride, no arrogance, no titles, I don't care what they call you at work. You need to get on the floor and give God your heart and let your heart be connected to God. This was the difference. In the midst of all of his struggles, this is where David would go daily. And that's the only difference that made him a man after God's own heart. Most people say, I don't need God. I'm good. I got this. I'm cool. I'm okay. David said, no, not me. Verse 3, for acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, Lord, against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. That you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. That's TMI. That's kind of too much information, David, but we'll take it. We didn't need to know what your parents was doing and when you was born and whatever happened, okay? But if you want to throw it out there, David said from the beginning I was jacked up. He said, in iniquity, the word is like in trouble and evil and perversity. He said, hey, that's how I was born. In sin, my mother conceived me. That's too much information. We didn't need to know all that. He said, verse 6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. That thing that nobody else knows about but you and God. David said, you want me to be true in that part as well. Not just in my heart, my mind, my soul and strength, but that piece that I don't want nobody else to know about. God, I've given that to you. Ivy, did that? My mic? It's getting hot. We need the air conditioner on Ivy. It's getting hotter, ain't it? Tommy, can you turn the air conditioner? Because we're getting ready to turn up the heat just a little bit more. He said, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. Hyssop is a type of plant. It has healing properties and different things like that. They still use it today. It's in the mint family. That's the same plant they use when they pass over, put on the sides and the top. That was with the hyssop. And I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. We'll come back to another time to break this all the way down. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Somebody say amen. Amen. Here's his prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's our prayer is, man, God, give us a, thanks for a second chance, Lord. God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. God, I need to be right with you, God. Don't cast me away from your presence and don't take your Holy Spirit from me, God. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. Deliver me from the murder that I committed. O God, thou God of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips and my mouth shall show forth your praise. So we praise God. If you can open your mouth, you need to praise God because some people can't open their mouth. You say, God, if you allow me to open my mouth, I'll sing your praises. Verse 16, for you desire not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. He said, I don't need all the sacrifices. But verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh, God, thou would despise. Thou would not despise. That word broken is crushed. It's into pieces. When your heart is crushed into pieces, God said, I'll take it now. When you tried everything else and there's nothing else, God said, give me your heart. For too long, we've given our heart to other stuff. Instead of giving it to God. And see, man, you all know how we get down. Don't bring us nothing. It's Father's Day. Try giving your father a broken clock. Give him a broken watch. Give him a broken phone. Give him a broken car. Give him a broken tablet. Nobody want nothing broken. God says, I do. God says, bring your broken heart to me. And I'll build you back up. That's the God we serve. That's a beautiful thing. Nobody else wants anything broken. Teachers, we don't want no broken down kids in our class. Give us the best. I don't want those broken down. Every year I get the broken down kids. Can I have one year where I get the good kids? God says, those are the ones I want. God wants your heart to be broken. Give it to him. He builds you back up. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased. God doesn't have your heart, then he doesn't want the sacrifices. Start with giving him your heart first. Then verse 19, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullets upon the altar. God saying, don't give me all that stuff. Give me your heart. Even as Pastor Manny talks about during the tithes and offering. This guy's not doesn't want your money. It's not about, if you still think tithes and offerings about money, then you see, we got to mature, man. It's about God. So give me your heart. Show me that I have your heart by giving me everything. I'm only asking for 10%. Show me I got your heart. I don't want the sacrifices. Don't give me nothing if I don't, because it doesn't count. If your heart's not in it, keep it. Give me your heart, we go from there. And we need to stop. Somebody say amen. Just bow your heads really quickly. And Lord, we just ask for the forgiveness of our sins. Let our hearts stay connected to your heart, Lord. We don't want to run from you. We want to run to you. God, because we need you like never before. As only you can do, forgive us, cleanse us, renew in us a right spirit, Lord. Thank you for giving us a second chance as men, as women, as ladies, as young ladies, as sons, as young men. Thank you for that second chance, Lord. We believe it, we receive it. It's not based upon anything we could do, because we could never be that good. On our best day, it's still not good enough. And on our worst day, it's never bad enough that you can't say, give me that broken heart. I want to make you new again. So we thank you for the finished work that was done by Jesus Christ on that cross. That allows us all to say, thank you, Lord, for a second chance. We want to stay connected to you heart to heart. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. One last thing we're going to do before we dismiss. We honor the dads and the fathers, and we have a few graduates in the house. We thank God for education in the house. So if Dr. Gina Hughes would come up and Sister Brandy, her assistant, Brandy Vanna White, come on up here. So and there are a few grads in the house, and we thank God for the graduates. Sister Gina, are you ready? You need a microphone?
No, I'm good.
All right, thank you.